Welcome to the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And now, your host, Big Bad Boris.
All right, I'm going to say the name right this time. Welcome to the latest edition of the Punk and Pile Drivers Podcast. My name is Big Bad Boris. Welcome to the Backbreaker Media Network. And a special, extra special guest this time around.
Jesus.
He is God's self-proclaimed, God's gift to wrestling, sent from the heavens above to save the Backbreaker Media Network, Mr. Michael Richard Blaze. MRB, thank you. I appreciate you doing this and hanging out with me.
First of all, I consider it offensive that you have to throw in the self-proclaimed, because I really am just that good.
I thought we were supposed to put in the self-proclaimed part.
You can if you want to make me sound like a bigger dick, but it's also just true, so, like, don't offend me and say it to my face.
Well, yeah, you don't need our help in sounding like a bigger dick, so.
Exactly.
So this is kind of cool, because we're on, I don't know if we sound a little different, but we're on location, a top-secret location. Right now, we're backstage at the taping. And cut me off if I say anything here you don't want me to say, because you are the godfather of this shit. We're backstage at the taping of Clandestine Society Act 3. How do you feel?
I feel really good, honestly. And, like, I appreciate you and everybody else saying I'm, like, the godfather of this shit. But, like, when it comes right down to it, like, I'm just happy that, like, especially right now with the way everything is that, like, I can kind of help facilitate giving people, like, just a chance to do this together with everybody. And, like, I just consider it everybody's thing. Like, I might, like, there's a few of us that might put in, like, a lot more work than others into it, but that's just because that's what we do. But it's, like, I consider it, like, everybody's thing. It's a team effort.
But so in fairness, but, like, the buck does stop with you. This was your idea. This is something that you came up with, and you're kind of like the Vince McMahon. Like, everything kind of has to go through you.
Yeah, I
guess. Which is why you kind of walk around going, God damn it, pal.
It's true. I do. But, like, I guess, but it's just because, like, I think I've been around. Okay, here's the real, like, inside to it, is I just, like, I always hesitate. Like, you know, like, as my friend, like, you know that, like, I hesitate to, like, call myself that, and I don't like being, like,
you don't
I
like think, to put yourself over
yeah,
at all.
Like, I feel like the people that say I'm a locker room leader are never the locker room leaders. You know what I mean? Like, I want people to come to me, like, I love you saying that. But I'm not going to sit here and be like, hell yeah, I'm the godfather of this. This is my thing. Because, like, I'd rather just be everybody's thing. And I'd rather it be, like, a team thing. And so, like, if people come to me and they're like, you're the man. Thank you. Help me with my match. Like, thank you for training me. Thank you for doing this. Like, thank you for creating this thing. Cool. I appreciate it. But, like, you're just as much of it as I am. And I'm never going to be the one that's like, this is mine.
God damn it. Yeah. Okay, well, I was going to start talking about music, but it kind of got away with me. So we'll stick with this. What was the impetus of this idea of Clandestine? Because it's kind of changed post-pandemic from kind of how it started. But when you first kind of had this idea, where did it come from and what did you want it to be?
So, like, the funny part about it is, like, what we're doing right now during the pandemic thing is what the original idea was.
Oh, okay.
Like, when I originally pitched it to everybody and, like, there was never actually, like... So, at one point there was, like... almost like some half-assed backlash, I want to say, which I didn't foresee with the invite-only part of it. But the thing about that was, is like, originally, the original idea was there wasn't ever supposed to be any fans. And I never expected it to truly get as, like, much buzz before we actually did it as it did. So, like, originally, it was literally supposed to be, like, let's invite just, like, literally our family and people that maybe wouldn't even come to shows anyways or would only come to shows... for, like, us that mm-hmm. we would sell a ticket to, and they, like, maybe don't even want to come for anybody else. And, like, we have a party and we hang out, we drink some beers, whatever, and, like, all of us wrestle, but we just do, like, literally what we want.
Just to, like, kind of was, I remember kind of your idea, and then just it kind of, like, got out of hand a little.
Exactly, like, just to try to,
but
like,
in a good way, in a great way.
Yeah, like, the idea was, like, just let's do our thing, and, like, there's a lot of moves, like, and I sound so weird saying moves because, like, I'm not a... Everybody thinks I'm a moves guy, but I'm not a moves guy. I'm so much more into, like, story stuff, but
you
we can get into that later, whatever.
You used to be a moves guy. When, we're going to talk about that later.
Maybe.
I'm going to give you some shit.
So, like, the original idea was, like, I could do all these moves at training that I'd never, like, even attempt to do on a show because it was, like... So my thing's always been, like, I have to be able to hit something 9 times out of 10 to be able to do it on a show because I don't think you can ever be perfect at something. So like, there's always going to be that one time that's going to, like, if I have 100 matches, there's always going to be that one out of like the 100 that something's going to go wrong. It just is what it is. And as long as I don't get hurt, cool, whatever, but something's not going to be perfect. So it was like, I can do all these things in training that I can only hit 5 out of 10 times. But if there's no fans there and I'm not worried about you fucked up chance and it's just going onto the internet, I don't really care if I fuck up.
Fair enough. Okay.
Right? So like, I could do this thing that I would only do 5 out of 10 times. And if I fuck up, I fuck up. If I hit it perfectly, cool, it's on the internet and I can still post a GIF of it and maybe it'll blow up. Then all of a sudden I have these like full disclosure, I have fans so into it and like wanting to see like me versus Artemis Spencer that somebody actually offers to pay the flights for Artemis to come here. And then he realizes like, oh, these flights are cheap. I could probably bring Nicole too. Mm-hmm. And then I'm like, shit, Zoe would really benefit because like at the time I'm training Zoe and I still am. And I can see like she's progressing. And now even more than like me wanting to do this cool show and like wrestle Artemis, I'm also like, oh, I want to give Zoe this opportunity to learn from like this girl that was like literally just, I want to say it was maybe 6 months prior to this, maybe 8, like, but not too far.
Recent, yeah.
Yeah, very recently was in the Mae Young Classic, right? So like at that point, I have them coming and I post those two announcements and now it's blowing up and fans want to come and I'm like, well, shit. Like now, like I'm not changing the invite only thing because I've already said that's what it is and I want it to be like, I want this vibe of invite only, but now it's a real thing and like there's no choice but to fucking allow people to come. And I know I'm also swearing and I usually don't swear on these things, but this is different for you. But yeah, like now it was like, well, if this many people want to come, like why wouldn't I?
Let's make just do
this. Yeah.
So, and the invite only, like I was saying too, I forget if it was Thaddeus or Taryn, it gave it that really cool factor. And the fact that you could still watch it live if you couldn't be there gave it an even cooler factor.
And like that's the thing, and like I've always said it afterwards, and I think I even said this to you a bunch of times when we were talking about it, because I think there were a few people that I talked to a lot during that time frame, especially when like there was a little bit of backlash among like, not sound like this, but like just the local fans who were a little upset. That, like, it wasn't just a ticket-buying thing. And the funny thing is, like, I think almost all of them ended up getting invited anyway in the end. Because when it comes right down to it, like, which a lot of you guys don't realize that are listening to this is, like, you've been a part of all of our lives for a really long time. So you end up, like, almost becoming kind of, like, friends by association. And, like, everybody wants to, like, invite you. Everybody wants you there. So, like, I felt bad during that time when I would see like Facebook posts and stuff like that. And I felt like a terrible person and like nobody knew it was me either. So I'm like, fuck. Oh, and like, I think I even said to like you, I know I said it to like Mel. I said it to Thaddeus. I was like, I wish we could have done it in Nate. Cause then I would have invited everybody that I knew wanted to come. It would have been a dream for me to actually invite 1500 people. But
I think, honestly, it wouldn't have been as cool if it was at Nate. I love that gritty feel that we had.
For sure, and I agree. I think it came out way
cooler. But it also would have been probably a hot as hell 1500 crowd.
True. It would have came out way, it came out way cooler the way we did. And I honestly think, like, no matter what size crowd it was, nothing was going to get hotter than what we had. They were still, like, they were chanting, "We are clandestine," by the end of the night, and we went way longer than I thought. I think we were, like, 5 hours, and we burnt everybody out, and somehow they were still into it, which I've never seen on an indie
show. And there were some people who stood that whole 5 hours.
Yeah, exactly. But, like, that was just me feeling bad and being, like, I would have invited every single fan I've ever seen in Alberta if I could have. It's just like we had a capacity of 250 people. And like same thing currently. Like I would love to put the ring out in a field if we could and just be like, every single person that wants to watch wrestling comes sit in this field and watch us wrestle. But we can't. It just is what it is. It's just logistics. But
you
if we
do like Collision in Korea and have 250,000 people show up at a field and
Legitimately. Like if I could like have like the entire city of Edmonton come to a field and watch us wrestle, cool. But like, it's just not like, I just want to do really cool stuff with the logistics that we're able to do. That's all.
So let's fast forward to the first taping of episode 2. Top Talent Wrestling Academy is perfectly suited building for what I don't want to say we, because it's, I guess it is kind of we. I just feel bad. I don't want to take credit for shit, but for what we're doing. And Heavy Metal has done a great job making this place look cool.
Oh, yeah.
That first taping, I thought, came together, considering we didn't really know how we were going to do it and where cameras were going to go and how it was going to look. I thought it came together really well, and it looked great on YouTube.
I've said this to, like, a bunch of people, is, like, and this isn't, like, trying to, like, shit on anything else, but for independent wrestling, I don't know if there was anything else that, like, had that good a production value, especially for, like, being thrown together. And, like, there's some stuff that has, like, some pretty good production value and everything. Like, I think we did very similar, like, say, Super Kicked in Ontario, mm-hmm. and their stuff they've been sending out and everything. But, like, I watched that and I'm like, I would put that up against, like, any show that was produced by any company in the world outside of, like, WWE, AEW.
The guys that have money.
Yeah, exactly. And, like, honestly, like, obviously their product looks better because they have, like, better overall, like, screens and all that stuff. And I don't want to get, like, heat or anything, but I don't think our production was, like, that far off from, like, a Ring of Honor or, like, Impact.
For a bunch of ragtag guys, you know, yeah. with the equipment that we have.
Exactly.
We've got really good people doing good things.
Yeah.
And it came together really well.
Yeah.
You probably don't want to give away too much. What can people expect from episode 3? What are you willing to divulge? Or, sorry, act 3. Going to be split into 3 episodes, I assume, is what we're...
Yeah.
I don't want to speak because I don't want to say anything I shouldn't say. And then we're going to go to your first track.
Let's go with... I don't want to announce much because, like, we obviously do the match announcements and everything and, like, full disclosure,
then,
like...
Just say it's going to be good.
Yeah, like, like, honestly, like, just expect the same thing, like, we've been giving. Like, we have a group of, like, such hungry individuals that just want to do anything they can to get their name out there and just, and literally from, like, the referees to the announcers to the wrestlers, everybody just wants to, like, have fun, be friends,
pumped,
work
man.
Their asses
I'm
off.
I'm psyched. I'm ready to go.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I mean. And, like, so, not sound like this, but if you have, like, literally just the play-by-play guy saying that, imagine how the wrestlers are feeling.
For sure.
You know what I mean? So, like, if you're that pumped for it, imagine how everybody else is, and, like, it's going to be wild. Like, we like doing shit. That's just the way it is.
All right, let's go to your first track. You picked a couple of songs. Which one you want to roll with first? Because you said you had some songs with some stories. Or maybe I misunderstood what you said.
Yeah, like, I do, like... Okay. So it's funny because I listen to your podcast, obviously, and I listen to, like, Thaddeus.
How great was TFA, by the way?
Oh, she was excellent. I think, like... Honestly, like, all of
I love the message you sent me about how I could forget about being... And we were talking outside before we started recording.
You were literally sitting beside her.
Sat
in
next
the car.
To her in the car. But, like, I feel like just a horrible person.
Jesus. Well, don't forget about people, you asshole.
Thanks, man. Appreciate it.
I'm kidding. Fuck, where was I?
We're talking about your first song.
Yeah, shit. Okay. So I heard, like, the podcast and, like... Because I listened to, like, all your podcasts, and I think, like, so far, like, all 3 of them have been very good.
Thank you.
The format's, like, very good, and you can tell you have a radio background.
I've been getting a lot of feedback from people who like the extra added with the music and stuff. Like, people have been saying a lot of nice things, so I appreciate it.
But, like, so I heard Thaddeus say the thing about, like, I just didn't know he had any musical taste at all. And it's all, like, I get it because I don't really talk to people. And the thing is for me, is, like, music, and, like, you would probably know this from, like, coming to the gym with me and stuff. Music is, like, a very emotional thing.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that after the track. But
So, like, I could have a story to, like, any song I'd ever give you. But, like, so the two that I gave you, let's go for Silver Bullets by Fourth Angel first.
Okay.
And, like, so the big reason for that one is, without going into too much stuff, 2018 was, like, a very, like, topsy-turvy year for me. And, like, I literally went from being on, like, 205, this wild match with Hideo Itami that, like, I didn't think...
How cool was that, man?
Dude, it was the coolest thing ever because, like, I think I even texted you almost right before I went out where I was all, like...
I'm going to fucking wrestle
Kenta.
Yeah,
I'm about
Let's
to
go.
Wrestle Kenta for the WWE. And, like, he was my favorite... Like, for a while, he was, like, my favorite wrestler in, like, 2005-ish. But like, so that happens. Then all of a sudden I have some situations where like my life completely goes down, but like I got wrestling at least, and I got the gym, and I'm listening to this music. And so like one of the lyrics in this song is like, I'm so sick of waiting. I'm taking my life back. Nobody's going to stop me sort of lyric. I don't know if that's the exact thing, but like that's the genesis, the like main story of like this song. And I remember just hearing it in the gym one day, and I'm like deadlifting 135. And I'm like, yeah, fuck this. Like, nobody's stopping me. Like, I've worked way too hard for this. Nothing can take me down. And it was like something flipped where like I went from being like, oh man, like shit's tough right now, to like, fuck this. And like that day, like, it wasn't when I deadlifted 500, but it was like my PR at the time. I got like 465 that day, and it was like literally just like a switch flipped, and all of a sudden like I was messaging people, and from like that moment on, I honestly think I only had 2 weekends from that moment on up until the pandemic where I didn't wrestle a show.
You were booked somewhere?
Yeah, because I was just like, fuck it, like this is what I'm doing. And like that's when like everything starts taking off, when like I start going viral, when England starts happening, all of this. So like I literally look at that song and like those lyrics and me putting it on repeat for that workout as like the thing that pushed me to get past like whatever I was going through and whatever was like the funk that was in my mind, and to be like, no, I'm fucking Michael Richard Blaze. Like, I'm the guy that tells everybody else, like, work hard, do your thing, whatever. Like, that's what I have to do. So yeah,
that's my song? Story.
Silver Bullets
by
Fourth Angel.
All right, check it out.
Oh,
fourth angel on the Punk and Powders podcast, sitting here with MRB, who I call Charles. Yeah. You used to be Chucky Blaze, obviously, years ago. Chucky became Charles, and that's just kind of... And you call me Boris Nefus.
It's true.
After the Great Red Thunder.
It's true.
Talking about music, you kind of brought it up before. We've spent a fair amount of time in the gym, and you've always had music going in the gym.
Yep.
And like I said, we've never really talked about it, but I know you've always had it on. I've noticed, though, you have a lot of weird cover songs. Is that something you specifically seek out, or is it just coincidence? But I've been at the gym a lot of times going, that's a cover song, and that's a cover song. And I'm like, this is fucking weird. Is it coincidence, or do you seek that stuff out? Your second track's a cover song.
Yeah, like, I very specifically, like, seek that stuff out. Like, I love cover songs.
How come?
So really, like, in actuality, it was because I was just, like, messing around one day and, like, just searching YouTube for different music, and I heard this band called Halocene, who were, like, they're really popular now, but they started as just, like, a YouTube cover band.
Okay.
And it was just like, they're my kind of music. Like, right, like, that weird, like, cross and mix between, like, emo, punk, and pop.
I was gonna say, little screamo-y, emo-y, yeah, kind of a, you know.
And, like, I love all kind of music, but that's very much, like, what I very much gravitate to, usually. And, like any playlist I have, 7 out of 10 of the songs will probably be that genre. And then I'll have some other stuff sprinkled in there, but it'll be like that kind of stuff usually.
So will you listen to different stuff while you're working at your computer than you will when you're in the gym?
Honestly, not really. Like, I listen to almost like the same stuff, but like, actually, like, we can get into it like with the gym stuff if you want after I explain this. But people would be like very weirded out if I said like what my gym stuff really was. But like, so I found Halocene. And I realized, like, you know, I really, like, I like when, like, girls do the vocals for songs that guys sing.
It's funny you mentioned that, and we'll come back to it. But if you listen to the first episode,
yeah,
all three tracks that I played are bands fronted by females. And I've really become drawn to female-fronted punk rock bands. And I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
It's just there's so much talent out there, and there's so many great bands that are fronted by females right now, and it's fucking awesome.
So like,
and I don't know why. I don't seek it out. It's just, oh, that's a cool band, and they happen to be fronted or all women.
Yeah, like, so I've tried to think of it before, and I honestly think it's like, this is gonna be funny. So one, I think there's just like something cool and contrasting about such, like, not sound like this, but like a beautiful, soft female voice singing such hard, heavy music.
Mm-hmm.
It's like this weird contrast that, like, it's almost like eating something that's sweet and salty,
mm-hmm,
where it's like, this shouldn't mix together well, but it tastes really damn mm-hmm good. And it's the same thing there, where it's like, this shouldn't mix together well. Like, this voice should be going to like a slow Celine Dion song, but instead, like, there's this hard music in the background, and it just, like, it works. And then two, so I don't know as much about like punk as you would or a lot of people, but at least to me, and like when I've seen stuff from the past, I feel like it was a very like male dominated industry.
Absolutely.
And like very like, rah, rah, like kind of stuff.
Very macho bullshit.
Yeah. And like, so this is where,
and
like,
I think wrestling was like that a lot too.
That's where,
oh,
I'm getting
into.
Did I
just steal your thunder? Sorry.
This is where like wrestling kind of mixes in with music. Is I've gone into like this place recently where I think like women's wrestling right now is some of, if not like the best wrestling out there, when it's like really good women that like put the effort in. Example, Sasha Banks, because mm-hmm she's like probably one of my favorite wrestlers right now, mm-hmm, watching TV. And I have this theory that it's because like for wrestling wise, girls are like kind of playing catch up to the guys, because like guys went through the 80s of like relying on their body and all this stuff, and then we got to the 90s of like Brett and realism and all this crazy stuff, then we got to the 2000s of like really realistic, like beating the shit out mm-hmm of each other or doing like wild flips and bumps. Now we've gone into like a point where like I think wrestling's in like this weird little thing where everybody's trying a bit of everything, so like men don't really have like an exact style that's happening. Like there's some really realistic stuff, then there's some really like goofy stuff, then there's some deathmatch stuff, and like it all, like everybody can do what they want to do, it's cool. But I think right now women are in the Bret Hart phase, And I think that's the best kind of wrestling, personally, like the realistic boom, boom, boom storytelling. And so I think that's why, like literally, I feel like Sasha and Bianca, for example, from WrestleMania was very much like I was watching a Bret Hart match.
Yeah, great match.
Yeah, but like done by two females. So I feel like they're in that phase. And I think it almost is the same with music, where like girls are getting into that like phase of like what I want to say, like maybe if I relate it to punk, like the Misfits were, where like they're in like this like the best phase of punk music. Sort of thing, if that like makes sense.
It does.
Yeah.
And I think a little bit too, for when I think about that also, is technology is making it a lot easier for the everyman to get their shit out.
100%.
So that's why there's so many of these indie companies. Like, look at Clandestine. Again, we're just a bunch of dudes.
100%.
That have the ability to put this out to the world, and that's like IWTV, which I love.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
You know, there's 80 million companies that can just stream shows. So you're getting exposed to all these different people and all this different stuff, and there's No Peace Underground who do death matches with no fucking ring. That's fine, and I hate it. I don't like it, but they're popular. I don't know. For me, I need a ring.
That's fair. And like, that's kind of my thing too, is like when I sit here and I say stuff like, and me and you have talked about it, there's a lot of like stuff that I see that I absolutely hate. I don't
like it.
Well,
there's a lot of bad shit out there.
For sure. Like, for example, like I'm not like a deathmatch guy at all. And I know you are.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I can see why people like it. And that's why like I put one on our first Clandestine. And because like I had friends that really wanted to do it. And I was like, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you guys that you want to do this. The last thing I would ever want to do is get beaten with light tubes, but do what you want to do.
Just try and be safe.
Yeah. And like, if it gets over, it gets over. But I think it's like, that's the one thing is like, even when I say stuff like, this is the wrestling I think is the best. That's for me. I love that everybody can put out all their stuff right now. It's awesome. And like, for example, like I know he's like the big thing right now. I'm not like a huge Nick Gage guy. I think it's cool that like he came back from whatever he came back from and he's become like this popular dude.
Did you watch The Dark Side?
Yeah. It was like, it was a very good Dark Side.
Yeah.
And like his story is like cool. Like good for him that he came back from like,
but me
all
knowing
that stuff.
You, I wouldn't expect you to be a big Nick.
Yeah.
Like,
it's
and
just
you're not
my
being
thing.
Disrespectful. It's just not, you're not in your
exactly.
box.
Exactly. With that said though, I think I watched that Matt Cardona, Nick Gage thing like
a solid
20 times.
Good.
Yeah. Like,
and I've only seen the clip. I haven't seen it in the context of the show because I haven't got to that one. I just
finished
the Survival.
Like,
but like the whole thing with
dude,
the Moxley.
Yeah, Cardona doing the Moxley and everything.
So good.
And then like, even though like, so I'll watch stuff and I'll pay attention to like every little detail because I'm obsessed with storytelling and stuff like that, obviously, because that's just wrestling. Even like right down to like, you have this dude who's going to end up being revealed as Matt Cardona, who's like WWE basically through and through. Nobody would ever expect him to be here. And right before he starts doing the Moxley stuff, like you have Nick Gage just being like the craziest motherfucker I've ever seen. Literally, he's taking like light tubes and breaking over his leg and over his head just for the sake of it. He's already won his match and he's breaking light tubes over himself just for the hell of it. And it's like, maybe that was just him in the moment and he wasn't even thinking about this, but that like told part of the story there. That he'd like, you have this crazy motherfucker doing this, and there's like, and then all of a sudden it's like this Matt Cardona who you would never expect to be involved.
Turn around. Mo Jabari just put his ass on the window.
Disgusting.
Anyway.
But yeah, that's what I mean, is like, I love that like everything gets out there, because even if it's something that's like not truly in my box, because it's like I wouldn't really go out of my way to watch death matches, all of a sudden it's like, oh shit, one of the coolest things I've seen in like years just happened in a death match. And like, I watched it too, because like I watch GCW all the time.
It's my favorite stuff. And again,
like,
not everything's a home run.
Yeah, like,
but when it's on, it's on. And I really
the
like
thing
it.
With them is like,
and like, I respect the hustle.
That's the thing exactly, is like, especially like, so when I did Spring Break and like actually seeing,
you did two or three? No, you did three, right?
Like Spring Break 3?
Spring Break 3.
Whichever one was in New York.
Yeah, because one was whichever the first
one. One I was at, but I wasn't on the show.
Was it at
it was in Orlando.
Gennetti?
Yes, in
Orlando. And then
in
two
Orlando.
Was New Orleans, because Braden and I went to that one. And then three was the one you went to when you did the, tried to recreate the bump and that guy fucked it up. Who was that anyway?
I wouldn't really say like he fucked it up. It's just like, it's a scary thing to do. Like realistically, Matt Nix, he's like, he's a really good guy. We still talk every so often. Just like I honestly don't blame him. Like we were up there, and like if he didn't like go first, maybe I would have slipped anyway. Like it is what it is. Anyway, and like to be honest, I'll throw this out there right now. I don't give a fuck if we kind of fucked it up. We still did a fucking twisting belly to belly off the top to the floor through fucking doors. Like the only reason I think that didn't get like a bigger reaction is because everybody had seen the Spanish fly go viral. So they were all like, oh, this guy's going up to do the Spanish fly. And then it wasn't a Spanish fly. That's like, but we still like, we literally did like the Shane Douglas twisting belly to belly off the top to the floor. Like, come on.
And but you're on spring break. That's cool.
Exactly. But like, so especially after doing that and like seeing like Brett Lauderdale, like he's a cool guy and he's like, he's literally just like any of us. He's just a dude that's hustling like hell and like he just loves wrestling. And like Janela's the same. Like literally, if you look at that spring break stuff, weird comparison here, but you could be like, Janela's me and Brett Lauderdale's you or anything like that.
Yeah, I get a vibe from Janela. He just loves it.
Yeah.
That's why he goes to these GCW shows. He doesn't wrestle, but he'll commentate just because I think he just wants to be there.
That's what I mean. It's like, that's why I say like Janela's kind of like me. He's like the wrestler that jumped in and was all like, I think I can help come up with ideas and stuff. And then like Lauderdale's like the promoter. So like, you're not the promoter, but like the idea is like somebody in the background that's putting just as much work in and like just wants it to be something and hustles. Right. So like, yeah, like I love their hustle and that's why I watch everything. And like I still talk every so often to like Brett and he like he's cool and I'd like love to go work there again.
If there's a chance once things open up he'll have you back again?
I never say never.
You could get over like fuck there.
Yeah, like you never know.
You could be the next Ninja Mac and Jack Hartwheel. And I'm not trying to be a dick. I mean for real. Like you just need one good showing there and people will be like, bring this guy back.
That's, I appreciate that. And like
I've always, and I know you believe that, but you'd never say it.
I like,
because that's just the guy you are.
I'm very like confident in like myself that like whenever that like shot comes, give me that 10 minutes and like I'm back.
Yeah.
Like I know it's like, say I went and like got on AEW Dark. Give me 10 minutes to just do my 100% me there in like 10 minutes and have the world see it. And I'm very confident that like I'd take off from
Turn some heads. Yeah.
It's not an excuse. But, like, the unfortunate thing is, like, honestly, like, the Canadian borders in Alberta.
Yeah, there's a lot of...
Yeah, it's just, like...
All right, let's go to... what's your second track?
Iris by Diamante.
This is a Goo Goo Dolls cover.
Yep.
Why this song?
Okay, so... Story behind this one is, like, A, we had, like, the talk earlier about, like, all the cover songs that I listen to and everything. And, again, female vocals. And, like, I like Goo Goo Dolls. Well, actually, I don't like Goo Goo Dolls. I really like Iris, but I don't like Goo Goo Dolls. So I have a bunch of different covers of this song specifically, but this is my favorite one. And the, like, lyrics to that song, like, always, like, got me. Like, I just want you to know who I am and stuff like that. And, like, I remember I made, like, a Bret Hart highlight fan video to the Goo Goo Dolls version when I was, like, 13 years old when I was just learning how to like make videos and like just something about those lyrics like really spoke to me. And then this version came out right when I found out, like literally 2 days after I got back from the RAW in Winnipeg when the doctor was like, you're not cleared, you have a torn pec, you have to get your pec done. And I think I listened to this for like a week straight, just like I'd be at work and I'd be like listening to this song. And like, honest full disclosure, like this was like a very weird moment in my life where like I was really happy because I was still wrestling a lot. This was like a month before the pandemic too. I was still wrestling a lot and it was like cool. And I was still training people and it was cool. But I was also like, I'm so scared that like my dreams literally just got ripped away from me because I'm so, so, so close. And now I don't know if I'm going to be able to get this done because it was such a brutal thing dealing with regular doctors trying to get this done too. And I was like, I literally don't know what I'm gonna do. And I would listen to this song and like the first 2 minutes of it I'd like tear up and I'd cry. Like if I was at work and I was listening to it, I'd have to go to the bathroom because I would start like crying and I wouldn't want anybody to see that I was crying. And then by the time the last minute came and it's just going like, I just want you to know who I am, I'd be like, yeah, fuck this, somehow I'm getting this done. Like, if I have to fly myself to Mexico and pay to get this done, which thank God I didn't have to do. But the point
is, I remember
us
talking about that, though, and I was worried. I'm like, dude, are you sure this is a good
Like, if I have to, like, somehow, like, I'm going to get this done because this can't be like, the end of me.
You're not going out like that.
Exactly. Like, I'm only 30 years old. This can't be, like, I can't just give up now because I've literally worked at this since I was 13 and, like, I'm so close. Like, people know who I am now. All I need is to keep going. And, like, I tell people that all the time. It's like, you just have to keep going. And, like, this song, like, the lyrics very much speak to me because of that. And then, like, this version in specific because of the time frame is, like, my favorite version.
All right, Iris. Diamante?
Yeah.
Diamante Iris on the Triple P.
And I'd give up forever to touch you. 'Cause I know that you feel me somehow. You're the closest to heaven that I'll ever be, and I don't wanna go home right now. And all I can taste is this moment, and all I can breathe is your life. And sooner or later it's over. I just don't wanna miss you tonight.
On the Punk and Proud Rivers podcast, Charles Blaze, my special, extra special guest, backstage at the Clandestine Society. This is very cool. What was your very first entrance music? Was it that My Chemical Romance song?
Yeah, my very
it
first.
It was?
Yeah, my very first entrance music was I'm Not Okay by My Chemical Romance. And, like, I really liked My Chemical Romance at the time, like, completely honestly. But I didn't choose it.
Really?
Yeah.
Bruce gave it to you or somebody? Or?
No, actually, Ravenous Randy, at the time, he was dating Lindsay Hart,
mm-hmm.
and she actually gave it to me. And, like, because, like, Randy had kind of pull and Stampede, mm-hmm. and, like, TJ was booking and all that. And, like, I really didn't care. I just wanted to wrestle. And as long as it was, like, something I was into, it was fine. But so, like, she basically chose it for me, and they just put it kind of same but as, it, like, my name to begin with.
It kind of like worked, that. Though, because you did come out looking, you know, with the hair and, like, a little gothy sort of punky kid. And...
So that's, like, legitimately why they gave it to me, mm-hmm. though, was because... So by the time you would have saw me, actually...
Because you've been working for a few years before you came to PWA.
Yeah, I'd been working about 3 years before PWA.
And again, it keeps coming back to me, and I almost feel bad about it, but I've been in this PWA bubble for 20 years, and I don't know any, and I feel like I've missed out on all these people, and like, I was just talking with Mike Maloney about these guys in BC, and I'm like, I don't know shit about guys in BC, like, I live in my bubble.
Yeah, like,
I'm lucky to be in my bubble, because PWA has been a very successful company, but I think I missed out on some shit.
I don't think, like...
No one's knocking down my door to do anything either, though. So I mean,
yeah, I was also gonna say, like, I'm also very much like, grass isn't always greener.
Fair.
So like, you may not have like missed out, and maybe you did, and like, maybe you can find out now. And like, did you really miss out if you didn't know if it existed? You could have like all of it coming up. But like, regardless, you may have actually, I may have switched back to like just the black and blonde hair by the time you saw me. But at the time when I started in Stampede, I had, like, blue and red and blonde hair and shit. Oh, was it all?
Okay.
But literally the reason they gave me that music and why Lindsay was so obsessed with it was because before I put the red in my hair, I looked exactly like Gerard Way. Like, literally exactly to the point.
I don't know who that is.
The lead singer of My Chemical Romance. Oh, was that
the guy? Oh, okay. All right.
Literally to the point. Oh, really? Okay. That Lindsay and Randy took me to a My Chemical Romance concert when I was, like... just turned 15, and we were leaving the concert after, and I swear to God this happened. There's like little 15-14 year old girls running up towards us, really? Going all like, oh my God, oh my God, it's Gerard, oh my God. And then they get close, and like, once you're actually close enough to me, you can tell the difference, and they're like, oh.
I'm gonna find a picture of this guy now.
And like, legitimately, like, if you pull up, like, whenever you go look at it, go find like a picture of Gerard Way from around like 2005, and then go on my Facebook and like the picture of me with the British Commonwealth mm-hmm. title. I'm like a spitting image to him.
Well, who was your first match?
My first match was
Stampede, I assume, right?
Yeah, it was Stampede, October 7th, 2005, against Brandon Van Danielson and Alex Plexus. And
really?
Yeah, and a Young Lions triple threat.
Who went over?
Duke Durango, Apocalypse, and Chris Steele rushed the ring and attacked all three of us. And then after
trying
about,
to keep the young kids down, hey?
That was pretty much the angle of it. After about, like, I think we went 7. And then TJ and Harry made the save on us and cut a promo about how we were, like, the Young Lions.
Okay.
We were young kids and, like, screw these old guys. Literally, it was, like, screw these old guys trying to hold us down and, like, they're going to protect us. From here on out.
Okay, that's cool.
Yeah.
How great was Taryn's story about her finishing her first match and losing and then jumping up and being all like, yeah. Oh,
it was so funny. I could see it though. Like, that's just like the person she is. And like, I always say this to her because sometimes she can get in her head and like feel like she's like not good or whatever.
She's awesome.
Yeah. And I'm always trying to say like, you don't give yourself like enough credit for like A, how good you are like at wrestling when you're just like being you, when mm-hmm. you're just letting it happen, mm-hmm. when you're not like getting scared or you're not saying like, oh, I have bad cardio. Because like, for example, one of the days we were training, she literally ran the ropes with us for like a solid 20 minutes straight. Like, because I make them do wild shit when we train. Because
you're fucking mean.
It's not that I'm mean.
No, you believe in people can be better. I get it. I know.
But then like contrast, she's doing like a little spot drill afterwards. And after like 20 seconds, she's like, I just can't go anymore. And I'm like, Taryn, you literally ran for 20 minutes. Mm-hmm. Believe in yourself. And then she like ran a 2 minute spot, no problem. And like put her hands on her hips like she was me afterwards.
You know what I have nightmares about? Your voice going, again, again,
again.
I don't have another rep in me, Charles. Again.
But okay. The thing is like,
I always have
nine times out of 10, you have the rep.
Yeah.
But like, I always say that. And then the other thing I say to Taryn too is like, you don't give yourself enough credit for like how like, good of an atmosphere you bring, because like you're a very like fun person and a nice person.
Absolutely.
And so when you're just like being you and you're happy, like you make everybody else around you happy.
So you've transformed your, I don't know, transformed your wrestling style maybe isn't quite the right word. It's evolved. Your body, obviously from when you started, has evolved. Is there any of the dumb shit that you did when you were 16? Do you regret any of that? Would you change any of it? Or is it all just part of building the story to where we are now?
100% would not change anything. And it's because I honestly wouldn't be like what I am if I changed it. And I know that's like a...
Because you did some dumb shit.
So I know like that's a cliche, like cop-out answer almost. But like, I truly believe like, why have any regrets? Because like, would I be what I am now if I were... didn't do that stuff? And like, sure, maybe I did some dumb stuff, but like what people don't like, because I've never really had a chance to go into it, and like nobody's ever like really asked me that, so like thank you, but like what people don't realize,
Jack. You know that
it's true. What people like have never like realized is like I was young, obviously, so I wanted one
youthful exuberance.
Yeah, like I was very young and like I was a fat kid growing up, all this stuff.
Story about your teacher guts me. I can't imagine how you feel because that guts me.
Yeah, like...
That's fucking horrible.
And like, so as a fat kid growing up, I wasn't athletic at all. Like, full disclosure on here, I broke my ankle running laps in gym class. Literally just because like I wasn't in shape enough to even run laps. And so I never thought I could do like any of this stuff. And I just forced it in training and everything. So part of it was like... testing myself that whole time, like seeing like, can I do this athletic stuff? Can I get through this? Can I do this? Can I do that? But like also what people don't realize, and it's the one thing where I'm like, fuck, like I don't want to be like, I never want to be like to put myself over, but I also think like, I don't think I ever got like, people just saw the flips and the big bumps that I would take, but I don't think people like it unless they like were in the matches with me, watching from the outside in, never actually saw like all literally from my first match when I was like 15, I was like very meticulously like at least trying and finding reasons that like this fits into a story and trying to tell a story. And a lot of times when I was taking those big bumps, it was because like I realized when I first got over in Stampede, I did a match with Ravenous Randy where he squashed me and he beat the shit out of me and gave me a bunch of big bumps, and I realized, oh, I'm Mikey Whipwreck.
Yeah, that sympathetic baby face.
Yeah, so like a lot of me doing all that wasn't just because I wanted to get my shit in. It was literally because like I'm Mikey Whipwreck.
This is what my
yeah, like my story is that I take these big bumps for people, and I can make people look good by taking these big bumps, and then I make myself look good by being the fat kid that does a random flip nobody can expect me to do. So like I wouldn't change any of it because having that mindset and then learning from people along the way, and then also if I didn't do all that stuff, I wouldn't have found out that I could do all this athletic shit. So I wouldn't be able to do it at the right times now.
Awesome.
Right? Yeah. So like, you can't change it. And I get like, I watch that stuff back now. And like, there's a couple I'm still very proud of. Like me and Brandon Young Lions Cup, I could do that match today and I'd be like, that's a good match. And that's like one of the only ones from that time frame that I'm like, or even like actually, this one people would probably like disagree with. Like a mofo, but for what it was and like the angle that it was, and if it happened today, because it would blow up, I promise you this, me and Brandon against Super Wild, which was Superfly Dan, and at the time Matias Wild, who's Tyler Breeze now, yeah, in the ladder match.
Is that the one where you did that stupid shit from the ladder to the floor?
Yeah, and like died? Where I bleed like
yeah.
Motherfucker. Buckets. Like a full like Eddie Guerrero Judgment Day style. I wouldn't change that today either, because like I promised that would like blow up online too. Because so here's another thing, when you ask me like, when you say I did a lot of stupid shit back then, I've done way stupider now. Like that, you know, Spanish fly to the floor.
I'll take you back to something. The Spanish Fly before, and that the
Canadian Destroyer with Teddy.
I remember. Do you remember when we went to do the Juggalo show?
Yep.
And I'll never forget it. I had a picture of it on my phone, but I don't anymore. we were just checking out the ring, and you climbed up to the top of the lightning rig.
Yeah.
And you were trying to find a way to jump off the lightning rig, and it was swaying, and I remember me and Gabriel were holding it, and you were like, can I do this? And I'm like, dude, don't do this. But you were trying to find a way to jump off the lightning rig.
Yeah, because, like, to me, so I've done way stupider stuff now than I did when I was younger. And actually, I'll pull it back to a time when I was younger. The first time I ever did the flip across the ring boot scrape was when we had AJ and Joe in 2007. We had that crowd of 900 people, and I'm wrestling Marky, and I wasn't a full-time guy in PWA yet. And back then, people said that was stupid. For the record, y'all said I wouldn't be walking by the time I was 25 because of that move. I still do it today, almost every month. Regardless, I had been able to do that for a year to that point and had never done it on a show, even when I was that young, and people thought I just did stupid stuff because I've always picked my spots too. Because, like, I knew, I was like, okay, I'm wrestling Marky in a big match, Mayhem title. There's 900 people here. AJ and Joe are here. At this time, I'm not understanding my body and stuff, so I'm still thinking, like, oh, maybe AJ and Joe will see this and they'll get me in TNA. I would never book a guy like me on TV from back then. From back then. Nowadays, I should be on TV right now. Just kidding. Well, no, I'm not, actually. I'm just trying not to be
it's
cocky.
True.
Regardless, I should be on TV right now. Back then, I get why I wasn't. Anyway, and also, I'm not a full-time guy in PWA right now.
Yeah.
But if I can get this crowd of 900 people to chant, this is awesome, and post on the PWA message board back then that they want me back, I'm going to be a full-time guy. And I was. Literally after that match, I've been on every show since then. So, like, Spanish Fly, I didn't want to do it. Full disclosure, like, me and Marky wanted to do it years ago, and then when it came to this one, it was like, I don't know if we should really do this. It might be, like, legitimately too much. And then I found a way to fit it in, and then Marky really wanted to do it, and then I was like, fuck, if you really want to do it, like, you're taking a big bump too. Huge crowd. And then I told him, I'm like,
and he's just as dumb as you are.
It's true.
And I mean that totally respectable, of course.
And, like, I remember what I told him too was, like, we have to take our time up there. And we have to sell it for a long time. No, I didn't care about our footing. I didn't care about any of that. I wanted people to be able to pull out their phones and hit
record. And there's angles of that from...
Yes!
I almost think my camera angles are the worst of the ones.
Honestly, probably. But that's just, like, circumstance of fucking...
Yeah.
You can only do so much.
Yeah.
But, like, I wanted people to pull out their phones because I knew in this day and age...
See, I never would have even thought of that,
yeah. Yeah, or, like, so, for example, that Canadian Destroyer, too. We're literally on the ladder, and Ted tries to do it to me, like, fast.
And
I pull away,
yeah.
And I'm like, no,
yeah,
take
then,
your time. Yeah,
and
I start punching at him.
And he gives you a couple of forearms.
Yeah, and I hooked him like I was
going
to brainbuster him
and shit,
too. And again, it was because, like, no, we need this moment of people thinking, I might do something to you, and give them time to pull out their fucking phones.
And it's funny that... I hate commentators who just scream when there's a big bump and just go, ah!
Yeah.
And if you go back and watch it, I scream, ah! And then they do the three count, and whoever was commentating with you says, the match is over. And I literally yell, I don't care!
Yeah.
And that was like a shoot, because I was worried that my friend is dead. And if you go back and watch it, it kind of works. Because
I
was literally
it,
like, I wasn't...
real emotion.
I wasn't Boar's commentator.
Yeah.
I was... Michael's friend going, holy fuck, I hope he's okay.
Which, like, I loved,
and
I also, like, I loved the
reaction. I almost regretted
it,
but then I watched it back, and I'm like, no, it works.
No, because, like, the best stuff is, like, real emotion.
Yeah.
And that's the other reason, too, like, I always want to take my time on those things and pick my spots, is because, like, I know I'm willing to do crazy shit, but I also know, like, I need to let people, like, look at it and be like, oh my god, is this really gonna happen?
Yeah.
And build that emotion inside of them, and then, like, I want that, like, real emotion. So, like, yes, I've done and I continue to do stupid shit, but I honestly, like, I put so much meticulous thought into this stuff, like, and pick my spots.
So is stupid shit a derogatory term? Because I mean no disrespect, you know that.
Dude, honestly, like,
risky shit?
Sure, we can go with risky shit, but, like, risky shit, stupid shit. So, like, I don't take it as, like, an insult. I just, like, the only thing I've ever, like, gotten kind of like, ah, man, about... But then, like, I also have a lot of confidence in myself and know, like, I'm doing what I'm doing and, like, I know it works. So it's okay. It's your opinion. That's fine. And, like, I have the right people that I talk to and, like, I'll take their opinion and I will do whatever they tell me to do. But some people, it's like, I appreciate you. I respect you. But, like, I know what I'm doing. Trust me. Like, I promise you. And you'll find out one day if you get to work me or whatever. The only thing that I take is, like, when it's all like, oh, he's just a spot monkey. He doesn't know what he's doing. Yeah. He doesn't tell stories. Yeah. He doesn't know, like, this. He doesn't know that. And it's all, like,
teach their own. And you can get hurt on the most random shit. How did you destroy your heels?
Dude. Okay, that was like probably people would probably say that's stupid shit.
But it was just a somersault.
Yeah, it was.
It was just so a stupid.
Flip to the floor.
It was a somersault from the top to the floor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's not nothing. But like compared to some other stuff, it's you know. I just didn't get caught well on that one.
Or like,
shit happens,
dude. So then like, it wasn't hurt. But like the only time I've had like anything happen where it was all like other. Okay, actually. This is the best one.
Oh, I see. What about Ivan off in the distance?
Oh, Lord. This is like the best
example. We'll wrap this up soon. Don't worry.
This is the best example. When I tore my pec. Literally all I did.
Just close on over the top.
It wasn't even quite that. It was like I used to do the fucking dude charges me at the ropes. I put my foot up, kick off their chest, and backflip myself out.
Yeah.
So I'm not even like getting hit hard by a person and getting forced out. It's literally all on me. And just for whatever reason, this one time, the way my arm hooked, it pulled back, and there went my pec.
Yeah.
So, like, the stupidest thing, and I think I did that move on every show I did for a year up until that point. Yeah. And I wasn't wrestling as often as I, like, started to, but that was at least, like, 60 matches, probably.
And how long did you work before you had surgery? Like, years, right?
I ended up, like, working for 6 years. Before I actually had surgery.
Oh, was it that long? Was it sick?
Because I tore my pec.
It was the first four show or second four show?
Yeah, I tore my pec in May of 2014. I tore it 2 weeks before I wrestled Christopher Daniels.
Right.
And like...
when the ring broke and your father was running around like a crazy person. It's true. That's another story for when you come on again. Okay, I'm going to ask you two quick questions and then we're going to get you out of here because I know you have to run around and say, God damn it, pal, a lot. It's true. What is your favorite match that you've been in?
My favorite match I've been in?
Yes, your favorite match you've been in. You probably get asked this all the time, right?
Yeah,
I do. It's like a standard bullshit podcast question.
And like the problem is like...
not the best match, your favorite match.
Fuck. Problem is I have three.
Okay, hit me with three.
Okay. Me and Samoa Joe is one that like I say a lot and is one of the three. And it's because that was the match where I was like, okay... I'm like a pro wrestler.
You can hang with the big boys.
Yeah, like I'm TV ready.
Yeah.
Because like literally I was nervous going out and then his music hits and he comes out and I'm like, oh, I'm just like you. And then we wrestle. It goes really well.
It was awesome.
I feel like I'm like literally there with him every way, every step of the way. Everything's easy. We get to the back and like literally all he says to me is he's all like, dude, like that was great. Like, and like a lot of times... when dudes tell you that, it's just because they don't want to take the time. But he was like, I could tell it was like very genuine with him. Mm-hmm. He was like, that was great. Your selling was great. Just keep doing that. Like, you're going to go somewhere as long as you work like this and you keep getting better. And like, since you're not like, he even said to me, he's like, since you're not me, work on your body a little more. Like, you got to like, you've got more of that athletic look. So get like a bit more muscular, stuff like that. And then like, fast forward a bit, when I go to WWE, he still remembers me. So I know he was honest about that. Cool. Because every time I've been there, he's like, hey, man, how are you doing? You hear anything from them? Like,
that's awesome.
Tryout coming or something soon. And like, he remembers me every time. So he obviously meant that.
Mm-hmm. Two?
Two is the me and
There's
Cody.
There's two more things I want to bring up. I just remember one other thing. Okay, two? Cool.
Two is the me and Cody 30-minute draw.
Okay, and three? I'm just curious about three because I want to say something if it's... what's three?
Okay, three. Me and Brandon, 60-minute Iron Man.
Now, what do all those matches have in common?
You were doing comedy.
Yes! Let's make this about me. No, the Cody match, fantastic.
The Cody match is, like, huge because it's, like, A, I didn't even know this, but that he, like, told me afterwards that's the first time he ever did a time limit draw. He'd never gone 30 minutes before, and he'd never done a time limit draw. And... I don't want to break the fourth wall too much, but like just to throw this in there, I put together most of that match, which people wouldn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And
because usually when the name comes in, it's like, yes, sir, we'll do whatever you want.
Exactly. Sir. And like, obviously he threw his stuff in.
Of course.
And around the last 5 minutes. So also not to get like this, but for anybody that thinks I can't do things on the fly, for the last 5 minutes, we went a little faster than we thought. So the last 5 minutes of that match up until the 6:30 is literally 100% on the fly. Just and like, we're not even calling. We're literally just feeling each other and going through the motions. And like, not going through the motions, but like working, but going through how we feel. And then the Iron Man is literally just because like, it was my first 60-minute match. No, you were there. You were maybe like, you and a couple other people on the outside were the only ones that like truly thought we could do it.
But and I know you trained like a motherfucker for that match.
Yeah, too. And like almost nobody thought we could do it.
Oh, yeah, I had no doubts.
But like, I know you didn't.
But I know you better than a lot of other
like
people.
Yeah, like you didn't. Like TJ didn't. My friend Grizz didn't. But like lots of people were like, maybe just like gimmick it and do 35.
Shave time.
Like you guys can't. Like there's no way you're going to keep the crowd for this. There's no way this is going to work. There's no way you have the cardio for this. There's no way your moves are still going to look good by the end. And it was like, no, like, I'm telling you, like, me and Brandon.
I haven't watched that in a long time.
Yeah, and like, I'm telling you, like, me and Brandon can do this, and it's going to be good, I promise you. And then I, like, I guess if I had to narrow it down to one, like, that's it. Because I can't.
Maybe I'll put that up on the PWA YouTube.
You should. I would love if you did.
I have the fucking power. Okay.
Dude, I would love if you did, because I would, like.
I haven't seen it in a long time,
I would tweet the shit out of that, because I'm so proud of that match.
Okay, what is your favorite match?
Yeah.
That does not have Bret Hart in it.
Oh, fuck.
Because I know as soon as I say favorite match, it's going to be a Bret Hart match. And that's not a bad thing. But I want you to think outside your box. See? I knew this was the reaction I was going to get. Because you're going to have to be like, oh, shit. My top 10 favorite matches are all Bret Hart matches.
Dude, it's true. It's so weird because like I go back and forth on so many matches. If I had to give you one like off the top of my head like right now, that I wouldn't really regret saying or like find a reason to change, it would be Shawn and Undertaker WrestleMania 25.
Was that the first or the second?
The first.
The first one's the better one, right? I mean, they're both
great. I think so. And like, so I've had this conversation with a lot of people before because like I debate wrestling all the time. I think, so I love that match. I think it's great. They're obviously like two of the best of all time, and like nobody can ever argue that. Mm-hmm. My only thing with that one that makes it like weird sometimes when I'm like, and like, which is why it pushes, if you would let me say Brett, it pushes
you
Brett.
Can say Brett.
It pushes Brett versus Owen above that one.
God,
for
I
me.
Love that match.
Yeah, like the only thing is like, I don't know if that match is quite as good. If that crazy Taker dive doesn't happen the way it happens, and if it doesn't
is
happen,
is that the
so
camera
early,
one where he just eats it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's still going to be a great match no matter what. But when I watch it back, I didn't realize this at the time either. That literally happens very early in the match. It's like 4 minutes in, and then they still go like 20. So I think what happened is like, it turned the emotion from like, this is a really good match to like, oh, holy shit. This is a really good match, and this guy should be dead. How is he actually doing this?
He's the dead man. I know,
it's true. But, like, so that's the only thing that, like, is for me, like, Bret and Owen didn't have anything like that and didn't need it, and it was still, like, one of the best, like, probably the best match of all time, and it's perfect. This one, like, still really, really, really amazing and close to perfect, but I'm not sure if it's remembered quite as great as it is. Mm-hmm. Without that happening and that little extra bit of emotion. And like, also, cool little story. I really like it a lot too because I was there live. TJ and Natty.
Oh, were you?
Yeah,
oh,
TJ and Natty had invited me and BVD there. And like,
oh, okay.
This is like a little quick story to tell you guys how like awesome those two are. Everybody knows TJ trained me. Everybody knows that like Natty was like very part of like that training too, obviously, because she's TJ's wife.
Really?
Yes, shocking, right? But like, they actually straight up, like, me and Brandon didn't pay for anything that trip.
Oh, wow.
They paid our flight. They got us like hooked up at the WrestleMania hotel. They just wanted us to be there and like experience it. Yeah. And so we got sitting in like the press box. And like, I remember 2 minutes into like the Shawn Undertaker match, me, BVD, and like Harry are just like sitting there drinking like these free Bud Lights. And then all of a sudden, like, Ric Flair comes and sits down right beside me with like a Bud Light. And he's like, cheers, this is going to be a great match. And then we're just watching and this whole insane match is happening. Finish happens. And Flair just like stands up and starts like clapping right beside us.
That's cool.
And then he like looks over and down to us and me and BVD are like, yes, sir. And we stand up and we just start clapping with him. And I'm like, you can't really,
I've never
like,
heard that story.
Yeah, like you can't really beat like being live and like watching like one of the best matches of all time with Ric Flair.
That's a great story.
Yeah.
Right on. Okay, lastly, before I let you go, if I remember this correctly, you have the distinction of being one of the few guys that's on Botchamania preventing a botch.
It's true.
Tell that quick story. Because I remember seeing you there, but I didn't know what happened until you told me the story. Then I went back and I watched it. I'm like, oh, yeah, you kind of saved potentially, not saved, but like you helped things be better.
Yeah, like when it comes right down to it, like nothing would have happened anyway, I don't think. Like we would have been, like dude would have been fine, but.
It's just you going, no.
Yeah, like we literally. So we're doing like the Velveteen Dream. Me and three other guys are having to lift him up on this like throne,
yeah,
and carry him down to the ring, which like I like to think of myself as like a decently strong guy, especially when it comes to like legs and core,
because
like my most recent squat PR is like 400 pounds. I can deadlift 525. Decently strong. Not as strong as some, but point is.
Whatever.
Yes. This thing was damn fucking heavy.
Was it really?
Man. Yeah. And like, I don't think like Velveteen weighs that much, but like putting a 220 pound guy on this thing, and I swear this thing itself had to have been at least like another 250. So like it's four of us carrying like a full like 500 pound thing just like on our shoulders. Mm-hmm. Down a steep ramp too, because people don't realize
that was a ramp show.
Yeah, like it doesn't look it on TV. Those ramps are steep and really? They're slippery
because they're metal, right?
Yeah.
yeah,
and like not grippy. But we rehearsed it like a solid five times earlier in the day, literally because the way it was made and the way it was like wobbly, and because it's so like it was so back heavy. If we didn't pick it up at like just the right moment when he like sat down, if we like, it would have tipped over and he would have fell off.
God forbid that fucking happened on live TV.
Because he almost fell off twice.
That would be like Shockmaster levels of horrible.
100%.
And your career is over.
Yeah. And so like, then we like go to do it. And the thing is like, when we were rehearsing, he's obviously not like as into it.
Mm-hmm.
So like, he's doing this thing. And he almost does like a little squat twirl and it looks like he's going to sit down. And the two guys in the front like get ready to start lifting. And so I'm just there. I'm like, not yet. And I almost like pull down. Like I just want to make sure this guy doesn't fall off the throne. Because like last thing you want is Velveteen Dream going flopping. Just... Also like we're on a fucking metal stage and he'd be falling 6 feet. Because we're all like... I'm 5'10".
Yeah.
These other two guys in the front are like 6'1". Like we're all like decently tall guys.
Yeah.
He'll be falling like 6 feet onto his head on a metal ramp. He's not going to be able to do this ladder match after that.
All kinds of bad.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to ask you, is there anything that you can give me for Clandestine Society Act 3 exclusive? Is there anything that you can tell me that nobody else knows? There's probably not, right? Because we haven't done it yet.
Yeah.
Can we say any new people who are on this episode who weren't on the last one? Can we say that?
Okay.
And you can tell me to F myself. I mean, I don't want to blow your deal.
If you want an exclusive.
Give me an exclusive, Charles. Come on.
So
we go way back.
We have...
You can tell me to fuck off, dude. Like, it's okay.
I'm trying to think of something that's good that doesn't give away like much... Okay, I'll tell you, like, this one. And, like, it's a very small thing. But, like, to me, it's, like, decently big.
I'll take it.
To me, it's, like, decently big. And it's because, like, I think she has, like, a very bright future. It's, like, Gigi Ray's going to be on this one.
Who, was she like... She wasn't on Act 1, was she?
She hasn't been on, like, any of the clandestine stuff. Because, like, she started training right when Act 1 happened.
She's women's champion in PWA.
Right? Yeah, women's like, champion PWA.
Obviously, like, my memory, who knows, right?
The thing is like, I say her is like a big thing because it doesn't give away too much, but also like I said, I think she has like a very bright future. And like, when I just said she started training right around the same time as Act 1. Pandemic happens like 4 months after that. Her winning the PWA women's title happens a month after that.
Mm-hmm.
And she's already like good enough to do stuff in the ring, which yeah. is why I think like she's just like she's got a
sky's the limit.
Yeah, like I very like the girls and guys I train, but like very specifically like the four girls because they work their asses off, and then like my brother. I have like a lot of like faith and like hope in them. And so like
what a first match for that kid. First yeah. singles match? Fuck yeah.
And so like all the other ones were on the last one. So to be able to have her come back now for this one, mm-hmm. like it's, they might think it's weird. You just
poured coffee all over yourself.
I just saw that. they might think it's weird that I say something like this, but like, I don't care. Like for me personally, it's like a big thing because I want to see like them progress. And I want to like, I very specifically like want to see her be able to progress mm-hmm. because I think like the sky's the limit for her, like right now. The sky's the limit for all of them, but for her, like right now, she doesn't realize this, but like she's progressing faster than she realizes, and she's like better and has more potential than she lets herself realize. So awesome.
Anything else you want to add before we close the books on this?
No, man. Just like this was really fun. And yeah. like honestly, like we should like do it again sometime. Because like this is like almost like a little bit rushed while we're doing all this stuff here today, but like I have like so much to talk about, and like you're my friend, so it's easy to talk to you.
Yeah.
And like yeah. I just like, I hope we can get back to, I hope we can keep doing these. I hope we can get back to like real shows sooner than later. I love like all the fans and everybody and like all of my friends and everything for like supporting me, supporting wrestling, supporting all of us through all of this still and still being interested in all of us because we're fucking like, I'm nothing with like out all the people around me and we're nothing without like all the fans. And yeah, I just want to like get back to it. I want to see everybody like do awesome and just keep doing what we're doing. And
thank yeah. you for taking the time, especially today, because I know today is like a wild day.
Yes, sir.
This was exactly as awesome as I wanted it to be. Today's going to be a fun day. Thank you, everybody, for checking out. Next week, I don't know. I think I might get my kid.
That's cool.
Let's put the kid on. He's yeah. like a Joshi maniac.
I was going to say,
he's like talking
I know
about all this shit with Joshi. He's like, sorry, Dad, that I might be tired today because he was up till 6 a.m. watching Stardom pay-per-view That's last funny. Night and stuff. So,
that's, like, I was going to say, like, he's like
yeah.
a good one to have, actually, because, like, he watches shit people don't know. And, like, yeah. people, he doesn't get, like, nobody would know who he is. So he doesn't get, like, credit for the fact
yeah.
that he's, like, been around PWA for a while. And, like, he's been your son. Is probably along with you and the people that get into the A car going to Calgary have probably like heard me rant about more things and honestly probably like knows a lot more about like wrestling than a lot of people just because like he's had the benefit and like you guys have had the benefit of like me expelling whatever knowledge I've gotten from people higher than me. Ranting in cars.
Well, people don't know, but you're the one, because I used to drive the A car for years, and you'd yeah. be the one on the way back to Edmonton who would sit with me and ride shotgun while everybody else is sleeping yeah. in the back, because I need someone to make sure we don't die. And we would just bullshit for 3 hours, and that's some of my favorite times of those trips. Anyway, I'm going to let you go. Thank you. This was fucking awesome. I appreciate it. I appreciate you. And we're going to have a good day. Thank you for listening. I have no idea what song we're going out to because I didn't think about that in advance. That's but fair. This song is by a great band that I really like, and you're going to love it.
Beautiful.
Talk to you guys next week. Well, we're going to waste the days getting out priced of our apartments. Hoping we don't go homeless. We're sure as shit ain't moving home. Watching television. We're stealing from our parents. So many opinions on how we live, but there's no option for even how to get out of bed. But my bleak mind says it's cheaper just to die. The brick inside my head's laid on bed.
another hand-me-down. Talking nightly about nothing feels like giving up somehow.